Right, as of this morning, hundreds of owners of earthquake-prone buildings have more time to get them strengthened. The current rules put in place back in 2017 require buildings to be remediated before set dates, depending on how risky they are. Manawatu District's Deputy Mayor Michael Ford says it's been impossible to do all the strengthening work in the previously tight timeframes.
Well, in a low-rent communities like Fielding, but there's many others around New Zealand in high and medium risk zones, the economic viability of doing this work often just doesn't stack up. Most of these buildings in our town add no value to the land, and yet we're talking many hundreds of thousands of dollars to strengthen them, and also there isn't necessarily money for redevelopment. Now, these things just take time, and with time we can manage it.
The government is now giving them 4 extra years to fix their buildings. It is also bringing forward a review of the current rules and requirements. Chris Penk is Building and Construction Minister and joins us now. Kia ora, good morning.
Kia ora, good morning.
We know that the Lower North Island in particular is at risk of a serious earthquake. So why add more time to getting this work done? I mean, for a building that is medium sort of low risk, they've got 15 years as it stands at the moment.
Yeah, well, there are 2 things going on here. One is that we need the settings to be right to actually enable people to do the work, because there's no point government sitting at Wellington and saying that work must be done as a matter of legal compliance if it's not practical and not actually getting done. And this is what we've heard up and down New Zealand, including in provincial New Zealand, places like Manawatu. It's just not getting done because they can't do it. So we've got to get the settings right. And the extension of time frame is actually about saying, well, look, in the meantime, we'll give you a bit of breathing space from the legal compliance. But of course, people can, if they're able to, go ahead and do the strengthening work or the demolition for that matter, if they're able to, in the meantime.
I understand all of that, and I get that it's incredibly difficult and complex for those building owners. But a lot of texters this morning, I have to say, texting in saying, look, lives are at risk here. A lot of people from Christchurch texting in saying, this will put lives at risk.
Life safety has absolutely got to be a priority. So too, resilience of the buildings in the event of a natural disaster such as an earthquake. There are good reasons we want our buildings, in addition to the life safety dimension, to be able to withstand earthquakes. But at the moment, that work is not getting done. So it doesn't matter if the government has good faith rules that were implemented nearly 10 years ago to say that thou shalt strengthen or demolish thy building. It ain't happening. And so we've got to be...
Well, the alternative then is that people just have to vacate the building. I mean, that's the harsh reality that some buildings, and I know for a town like Fielding, that would be disastrous. But is that not the reality here? I mean, you give them another 4 years and they still don't do the work. Is it just procrastination?
Well, there are a couple of other layers. One is that local government still has the ability to declare a building unsafe or unsanitary. So that still exists despite or separate to the earthquake-prone building rules. The other one is that in the matter of private insurance, where those rules are separate, those are a matter of private contract, where the insurers won't support a building to be occupied, whether it's under a lease arrangement or owner-occupier, then they're not going to continue to allow that to take place. The lending won't take place in a sale. Sadly, we'll end up with more derelict buildings and more housing supply issues, but that's the reality that we face anyway.
Okay, if we look at the building code, the 34% code, and we know a lot of buildings are well below that we're talking about here, is that too strict, though? Do you think that there is scope, like, say, for example, if there's a dodgy chimney in a building and it has too much bearing on the overall code compliance, is there room to change that sort of thing?
I've certainly heard that argument, but I don't want to prejudge the outcome of the review that needs to take place and discuss all these kinds of issues. You know, there's more that we know since these rules were put in place about the technical solutions that are available. You know, some of the innovation to remove the risk to an acceptable level in relation to unreinforced masonry, for example, has advanced a lot in 10 years. And other countries, you know, dare I say it, Taiwan recently, will have lessons we can learn as well as those.
One last quick question, because we're almost out of time. One of the suggestions from Michael Ford was, you know, in the interim, you could put a cage inside a building, a steel cage that people could run to. I mean, is that a realistic option for you?
Well, it may be, but again, I'm not the technical expert, and we want to hear from all these people when it comes time, as well as local government, for the review. And by the way, can I just add, as a really important clarification, the extension of 4 years will come in when the Building Act is amended by legislation. So I can't say by press release that a law change has taken place now, but we'll do that as quickly as possible to give that breathing space.
Understand, appreciate that. Thank you very much. That is Chris Penk, the Building and Construction Minister.